accession number 27787, Mr. Ronald Mullins, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Mullins?
Lambeth, London.
And what was the date?
11/9/26.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? Were your family from Lambeth?
My mother. Yes.
Don't worry.
My mother was a nurse. And she was in Becontree. She lived and worked in the London hospital, round about there. My father was a repairman on the London Underground. Before that, he was a miner in Wales, Tom of Bandy.
So he's Welsh background.
He's Welsh background. And he was in the march that came from Wales up to London, protest march, and he thought there must be an easier way of doing things, and they were advertising then on the Underground or the railway, and he applied, and because he'd done so well in the Underground, he'd risen up a little bit. I can't tell you exactly how far he'd risen, but he wasn't just a miner sort of thing. He'd got used to organising the pit and things like that. And he came up and went on the Underground, which to him was heaven. And he thoroughly enjoyed it.
And were they living, where were they living when you were born? They were living in Lambeth, were they?
They were living in... Has he got my...
No. Where did
Becontree.
You spend your chuck?
Becontree is where they were living.
So that's where... Yeah. And how long were they living in Becontree? Was that where you spent your childhood?
I don't remember that. The first I remember is when we came to Burnt Oak when I was 5 years old. Or possibly younger, but 5 years old is definite. And we lived at 34 Orange Hill Road.
And was it a comfortable childhood? I mean, your dad was on it.
It was wonderful. To me, childhood was a wonderful thing. Yeah.
And you had what? Any others in the family?
Yes, I'm the eldest of six. And I was born in Lambeth. My sister must have been born there as well. She's a year younger than me. She was at the ATS and she's, unfortunately, passed on. Then comes my brother, who's in Canada. Him and I always talked about the Royal Navy, but he was the one that went into it. I only played at Sailors through the Cadet Corps.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. What about your other brothers and sisters? They're younger than you.
The next one is, because it went boy, girl, right the way through. My next sister, Margaret, she was my very good friend. She was younger and full of life. Really nice. Yep. Sunday afternoon, we all the children used to go out together to the park. Used to walk to Edgware, from Burnt Oak to Edgware. Whole mob of us, we looked like a descending gang. And then we used to go and play in the park.
So very happy.
Very, very happy.
I can tell the happy memories. Yeah. What about your education? Tell us about that.
Elementary, I was educated at Barnhill. I went there to the infant school, because it was just across the road from where we lived. And from there, the junior school, which was round the corner, which was closer. And then we moved up to Orange Hill Road, and I progressed into the senior school. The three schools were all together.
How did you do at school? I mean, were there subjects you liked, disliked? Did you do well, badly? How was it?
I wasn't a good scholar.
Why not?
Didn't have time. I was a stupid idiot. thank God I've taught my children different, and they've done well.
So you just didn't have time for it, you were too busy with other things?
Getting up to mischief, as boys do.
Was there any subjects you liked at all, or were you good at, or was it just you didn't like any of them?
Oh no, it never bothered me. I'd always enjoyed reading. Had a lot of trouble with arithmetic. Used to enjoy the woodwork and metalwork classes. Used to have to do a session of them one day a week. And general being a nosy parker.
Did you do any sport? Was sport part of your interest?
Yes, I run for the Barnhill. We used to have a sports day over at Montrose Park. I could run 100 metres pretty good. Only because I was frightened someone was going to hit me. Getting used to running away from the bigger boys.
Was it just running, or were you interested in football?
No, it was just running. I wasn't much of a sportsman in that respect.
So did you'd leave school at 14?
Well, I left school at 14.
No, just before the war, did you have any big hobbies? You know, were you in the Boy Scouts, the Girl Guides, or before the war broke out?
Yes, I was in the Boy Scouts.
What did you do with them?
What was it? 10th Hendon at St Alfie's Church. It was through the church that I joined the Scouts, and through the church that I'd done quite a few things. A bit of play acting, used to help with the...
Hang on, stick to the Scouts. What would you do with the Scouts? Because we're quite interested in how military and not military they were, you know, because some packs were military and some weren't.
Ours were not military. were not military. We used to go camping. And that was about it.
Were you doing the badges and things like that? Did they have them then?
They did have them. I never had the time. But it wasn't because I didn't have the time. I was the eldest of six, and a lot of my time was taken up helping out.
Now, you mentioned the church. Was the church very important in your life, or in the family life then?
Yes. Our mother insisted that we went to church. Where we were, I don't know if you know.
I know some of it, but tell them for the tape.
Where we were, it was a big square green in front of us. And we lived in the house the far side of the green. If you walked across the green and down a little road, you came into St Elvis Church. My mother was... Yes, she was the religious influence.
Was it C of E or
C of E, yeah.
And would you attend regularly?
Oh, yes. We had no option. My mother was most insistent.
But once a week? Or?
Mostly once a week. We went to the three sessions on Sunday. The other days, never went on the other days.
But quite a religious family.
Yeah.
And you were you quite religious, or was it just something you did?
Something that can shut. That's something I did, I suppose, because I had to.
Now, had you started your interest in the Navy before the war broke out? I mean, where'd that come from?
that actually comes from the church and scouting. I used to... I was a little bit of a tearaway. Let's put it that way.
In what way? Tell us. What sort of things were you doing?
Well, get into all sorts of mischief and...
What kind of mischief?
What can I say? Used to go scrumping and doing things like that. Used to go round the fruiters, go round the back of the fruit shops, and there'd be boxes of fruit and things like that. And we'd just help ourselves and run like hell.
So just normal, mischievous boy.
Yeah.
And so what about this Navy thing then? I mean, where's that? I mean, the church and the Scouts, what have they got to do? I mean, how did you get interested in it?
Scouts got me interested and made me look at my scholarly acquisitions better. And I was given a scouting book that came out every week, and in there it said about the meetings they used to have all over the world of
different scout groups.
Yes, jamboree. They used to have a big jamboree, and all the scouts and things. And I used to read that, where all the different people from different parts of the world met up, and they all blended together around a campfire and everything like that. And I thought, well, that must be good. I would have a go at that. But I never got, the only chance I got to go away with the scouts was to go to a local camp down in Devon. And then from there, the local scout unit, Sea Cadet unit, opened up in West Hendon, and I joined there.
And what did you do with the Sea Cadets?
We went to Milford Haven, spent some time on a aircraft carrier.
Now, what was that like? What do you remember that?
It was fantastic. To think that planes could take off and come back and land on that small deck. Having, why I say it's fantastic, we used to go to Hendon Aerodrome quite a lot. That was close to us. We used to spend a lot of time there. And
with the Sea Cadets visited Hendon there, or just you did?
No, just us.
Hank, I'll come back to that. Sticking to the Sea Cadets, what about this? What was so good about the aircraft carrier? You said it was fantastic. In what way?
It was so big. And to see a plane land on such a small space was tremendous. And I had the interest, because I thought if I took the interest, I could possibly join the Sea Cadets and then perhaps climb the ladder.
Now, what other activities were the Sea Cadets? What were you doing?
Mostly our meetings, but we used to go away occasionally. As I say, one time we went down to Milford Haven.
What other trips would you do?
No.
Can't remember them.
No.
Would you, I mean, did you do any sailing in dinghies or anything? Because there's a big lake there. I forgot the name of
Will's the Harp.
That's it, Will's Harp. Yeah.
No.
Did you go on that at all?
No.
Was there any practical sailing on little boats or dinghies or anything?
Not as a youngster. Only the mischief we got up to making a raft up at Edgeworthbury.
But that wasn't with the Sea Cadet?
No, no.
Now, what about the airfield, the visits to Hendon Airfield?
Used to love it. We used to go to all their, what can I call them, out days. When
air displays.
Air displays and things like that.
And what were they like? What impression did they leave on you?
Fantastic. Because they used to march and bands would turn up and it'd be a big parade, and then we'd see people in planes, Amy Mollison and people like that.
Amy Johnson?
Well.
Oh, is Mollison another one? Sorry, I don't
know.
No,
no, no. I think they're one and the same person. I think she married.
Ah, right. But I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
I think she married the...
So you got to see some of the quite famous pilots of the time?
Only from a distance. Remember, I'm talking about 8, 9, 10-year-olds.
I mean, did that make you interested in joining the RAF at all, or was that...
No.
So this was just interesting, but not for you?
No.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? What do you remember? You were still at school. What do you remember about the outbreak of war? Did you hear the broadcast, you know, the day war broke out, the rest of it, do you remember?
Not really, no.
Did it make a difference to you, the outbreak of war?
Yes.
In what way?
It changed my life. We were evacuated is the word. My dad decided it was too risky for us to be in London or in Burnt Oak, especially with Hendon Aerodrome being close by. So he up and moved us all down to his mother's, down in Tonopandy.
Where? Tonopandy?
Tonopandy.
Now, what was it like down there?
Fantastic. We were like, although there were no other evacuees down there, and it was wonderful.
Because you weren't being evacuated by the government. You were evacuated, no. Your parents moved down.
Yeah.
Did your dad come with you, or did he stay on his job?
Oh, no, he stayed on his job.
So it was just you, your mother...
That was one thing my dad taught us. If you'd done something or took something up, you had to stick with it. And he was a miner through and through.
So this was from September 39. Now, how did you settle in Tonopandy? You know, with your new... You were staying with your aunt, or...?
We stayed with our grandmother.
Grandmother, sorry.
And, and her Aunt Sarah was there... aunt as well, and we got accepted straight away into the community.
That's not always the case, is it?
No.
How did they treat you? Tell us a bit more about how you fitted in with them.
Well, we were made to go to school, which didn't go to I wasn't scholarly, and it just gripped us. It was fantastic.
Everyone made you feel
welcome. Oh yeah. And of course, a lot of the people, the way we spoke in different ways to what they did, caused quite a stir, but they were all wonderful people. Made very, very welcome. I've been back there even since I've married and got a family. My children have been down there and been made more than welcome.
And how was your school there? I mean, what was that? How different was it?
Well, we had to learn Welsh. That didn't go down well.
I mean, did you find that difficult? I mean, that sounds very difficult to try and learn Welsh.
Well, it was just an ordinary language lesson, really. That's the way we looked at it, or the way I looked at it.
And how did you take to it?
Yeah, quite well.
Could you speak it? A little bit.
I've always been a bit adventurous, and that was part of the adventure for me, was to learn the language, because I used to read the scouting books, how all these different scout groups would get together and they'd all speak to each other, and they were all from different countries. And I thought, well, I ought to learn another language, and Welsh seemed the appropriate one.
And what about the rest? Was the school more advanced than the one you left, or was it better school, or was it just right the same?
I couldn't say that it was more advanced. It was well regulated. It was a proper school. And we were made to take notice and do the lessons properly and things like that. I mean, we weren't pampered at all.
Now, how long were you in Tonopandy? You went there in September 39. When did you come back?
We went September 39. We came back. We came back for Christmas. Because my mother was expecting another baby. And my father worked on the railway, so he got a privileged password and to travel, so we all came back for Christmas. And
then did you stay in Burnt Oak then?
Yes, yeah.
So it was really just an interlude in a way.
Yes, it was just a holiday, and part of the holiday was the fact that my mother was pregnant. In later years, when I look back, I can realise that now.
Now, what about... Can we talk about the sort of air raid precautions that must have begun? I mean, did you have an Anderson shelter?
Yes.
Who installed that, and what was it like, to be inside? Because people, your generation know, but people now don't.
It was a real adventure for us. Don't forget, as I said, there were six of us, or five of us, And we used to have lots of fun in and out of the shelter, especially when the water got in it.
And what was it like in there?
Well, we shored it up. Well, when I say we, the whole family worked to make sure it's waterproof, warm and comfortable. And
now, how did you do that? Because waterproof is quite difficult because they're below, you know, if there's water going to get in, it's quite difficult to stop it.
Yes.
Did you line it or did you dig drains or what did you do? I know you were only young, you'd be about 13 then.
Used to, yeah. Never thought of it that way.
What was it like in there on a night then? Would you spend many nights in there?
Oh yes, each night we'd have to go in there.
What was it like?
It was like a snug little cabin. I've since then taken my children as they grew up, especially the older ones, take them to Hendon Airdrome when they had an exhibition of what it was like in England during the war and showed them where we, or not where, or how we got into an Anderson shelter. And
how did you get home? Tell us.
Well, there was steps down. There was a big cloth put over the opening. And there was a couple of bunks one side and a couple of beds the other side. And we all just got in. We slept together anyway in the house, so it was no different sleeping in the shelter. Except we caused more havoc.
Now what about the blackout? How was that done in your house? I mean, how did your mum black out the windows?
Very dark curtains. And in some of the rooms we weren't allowed to put lights on. And if we did and we got shouted at, the bulb was taken out.
I mean, were the curtains just normal curtains but very dark, or were they actually on a board, you know, did they actually sort of pin them up and sort of seal them? Would you not be aware?
I wasn't so aware of it. The first awareness I came, because by the time I came, we came back at Christmas and got over Christmas and went back to school at Burnt Oak, I left and went to work.
Now, let's follow that. So what work did you go to do?
I went to work at Western Electric Sound Systems. That's at Staples Corner.
So was this the tool making, light engineering business on UMTV?
Yes.
So tell us what you were doing. What was the work like then?
It'll help you with the Navy. We were making sonar sound systems where we'd make a square table, steel, about that high off the ground, and about 6 feet, 8 feet wide, square, and fitted with all the radar stuff.
Now, did you understand any of it, or were you just working on
things? Just working, fitting things. We used to, during our lunch break, we used to go and play in there, us, the young apprentices. To us, it was a...
Were you actually a proper apprentice to a trade, or was it just you were working it?
I was apprenticed to the tool room. I suppose it was proper.
So apprentice toolmaker,
yeah.
And did you enjoy the work?
Very much. Yes, I quite enjoyed it, and quite enjoyed, I suppose, the camaraderie that went on
between the lads.
Yes, and the older chaps, they were. There's quite a lot of older, much older men working there who, I suppose their war effort was working there.
Did you appreciate how important the sonars were, or
no.
Indeed what they were?
No. They were toys. as far as I was concerned. And that's where I got interested in the sea a bit, I suppose. I used to read about the Sea Scouts, the way they travelled and moved country to country, and what they saw and what they used to look for in different countries.
The sailors, you mean?
Yeah.
Not sea scouts.
Well, part of it came from scouting magazines, and part of it came from the... I went up to West Hendon with a few of the lads, and we joined a Sea Cadet Corps.
Right, we'd already done that, yeah. Okay, so what about the bombing, when that started? What sort of effect did it have on Burnt Oak? I mean, were there many bombs or raids in the area?
There was quite a few bombs. When I was at work...
How's about that?
I was coming home from work one night, and I used to work overtime, work quite late, and come out of work, between 5 and 7 o'clock at night, and I used to get a trolley bus home to Burnt Oak, and I sat on, I managed to get on the trolley bus at Staples Corner, which sometimes is very difficult, and the conductor, because there was conductors on the buses then, sat me on a long seat in the middle, and a soldier got on and sat next to me. He had all his equipment and a rifle pointing down and a butler rifle over his shoulder, and we were coming up to Collindale, the bus depot, when the bus slowed down and the driver shouted out, "Take it easy, we're not going to go anywhere for a little while, it's getting a bit bad out there." And we could hear bangs and see flashes of light, and all of a sudden there was a noise like a steam train, and the bus conductor said, "Everybody get down," and I sat there bolt upright, being nosy, looking around, and the soldier just leaned forward with a butler rifle and put it behind my head. "Get down," he said, "son." I had no choice. Down, and they dropped a bomb at West Hendon then, and it lifted the bus off the floor, off the ground.
And what damage was done to the... I mean, how bad was it in the bus?
Oh, well, there's no damage done to the bus.
It just lifted it up?
Yeah. The sheer force of the... I mean, it had devastated four roads. Four complete roads.
It's a landmine.
Yeah.
But the windows weren't broken.
No, no, nothing like that.
Quite lucky, though.
Yeah. And at the top of where I got off the bus, the top of Watling Avenue, by the Stag Pub, there was a police box, with the old square blue police box, and that had a siren. As we got off the bus, crossed the road, and just got across the road when last his siren went, because I spread all myself on the floor. That was the worst part of it. Amazing. I almost ran all the way home. That made me interested. Thought I might perhaps I ought to go to sea.
Were there any other close escapes or any other bombing, you know, on the area? I don't know whether Burnt Oak was much hit.
There was a couple in Deansbrook Road, I think, a couple of bombs there. Apart from that, all we often used to hear was the drone of the planes.